Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo, Thursday evenings live at 7:30 p.m. Real talk for those who live outside the Matrix. Call me now and join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hail me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo or visit me at conversationswithcleo.com. Become a part of the economic evolution. Red or blue? You decide, star.
This is going to be a position poem on a non-era. Most questions concerning change and concerning demonstrations of dissent in this country have been identified by the 60s. People always say, well, what do you think about the 60s? I personally think that the 60s are over, that the 60s were an integral part of what is happening now and were a link between what is happening now and what was happening prior to that, that every era had gradual and constant change and that there were always people who were out there making sure things were moving, and that the attempt has been to make this a non-era, to make people feel as though there is nothing they can do, nothing they can accomplish, and therefore quit doing everything. Media people seem to believe that we are living in a non-era. Seems to be the vibration. Historians of the future will have nothing to look back on and identify the 70s with. Historians of the 70s currently are busy reviewing and recounting what happened in the 60s to people who were here and already know. People who were previously identified as shufflers and were at other times lost in a given shuffle will be glad to find that the political deck has been restacked and that there is a new deal, not a new deal like FDR's New Deal, but a new deal concerning people who will in the future look back on this as a non-era and say that nothing happened in the 70s. We have a position paper on that. This is the analysis. I have believed in my convictions and have been convicted for my beliefs, conned by the Constitution and harassed by the police. I have been billed for the Bill of Rights and treated like I was wrong. I have become a special amendment for what included me all along, like all men are created equal. Well, no amendment needed there. I have contributed in every field, including cotton, from Sunset Strip to Washington Square. And back during the nonviolent era, well, hell, I was the only nonviolent one. As a matter of fact, there was no nonviolence because too many rednecks had guns. There seemed to have been this pattern that a lot of folks failed to pick up on. But all black leaders who dared to stand up was in jail, in the courtroom, or gone. Picked up indiscriminately by the shock troops of discrimination to end up in jails or tied up in trials while dirty tricks soured the nation. I've been hoodwinked by professional hoods. My ego has happened to me. It'll be all right. Just keep things cool and take the people off the street. We'll settle all this at the conference table. You just leave everything to me, which gets me back to my convictions and being convicted for my beliefs. Because I believe these smiles in three-piece suits with gracious liberal demeanor took our movement off of the streets and took us to the cleaners. In other words, we let up the pressure, and that was all part of their plan, and every day we allow it to slip through our fingers is playing right into their hands. The New Deal.
The people them say them attack and nobody not listen them all along. So them want me put it in the form of a song. It's like they're going to betray with us. So this is to all of you from all of us. Providing no jobs and telling us of the crime is like beating a child and telling them not to cry. With all the highways you are belong but true, you never build a little avenue. With the youth them burn a book, things are run amok. Tell me what the fuck you really think about happen if them learn a book. Gun a bus and none of us really want that shit to happen. You mister, you know me not try for this, yeah. But everything not so crazy, yeah. We just a beg a little help from minister, yeah. Do you expect me to turn the other cheek, take my tears and admit defeat? Do you expect me to listen when you speak? You never ever practice what you preach. Do you expect me still come out and vote? No matter what happens, we're always broke on my people. Still I'm tired of being poor. That the Empress but chant from the lion a roar. Oh, what was it? Yeah. Well, even the richest man a figure learn to take a stance when them realize that them not safe in a mansion. Is a tough way to learn, so you're not really secure. When the problems of the poor come kick down your door, the youth them get 2,000 guns for everyone on the seas. Instead of treating the symptoms, why don't you cure the disease? You know, things must really get wicked when your paycheck is less than your speeding ticket, mister. You know, we're not trying for this, yeah. But everything is so crystal. We just a look a little help, Prime Minister. Yeah. Do you expect me to turn the other cheek, taste my tears and accept defeat? Do you expect me to listen when you speak? You never ever practice what you preach. Do you expect me to still come out and vote? No matter what happens, I'm always broke on my people. Say them tired of being poor. That the Empress a chance and the lion a roar. What was that? Yeah, it goes like this. Well, we say money fi run and it fi run in a bungle. Let it go a rima, let it go down a jungle. Down a garden need fi water right down to the dirt. When last you touch a marble, when last you go kirk. When a better fire up the oven, no, no need fi start bake. And the brook valley man, them need a slice of the cake. Well, them man, them out a eat, them ready fi put down the gun. And no war, them love war, but the food a fi run. Well, white all and red hills road. You know them have a little message fi this close. It goes like this. Mister, your ego big, your mind that think we are this, yeah. But everything not so crystal. We just a beg a little help, Prime Minister, yeah. Do you expect me to turn the other cheek, taste my tears and admit defeat? Do you expect me to listen when you speak? You never ever practice what you preach. Do you expect me to still come out and vote? No matter what happens, we're always broke on the people. Say them tired of being poor. That the Empress a chant and the lion a roar. Oh, what was it? Yeah. Well, do you expect me to turn the other cheek, hit my teeth and accept defeat? Do you expect me to listen when you speak? You never ever practice what you preach. Do you expect me?
All right, my dears, hello, good afternoon, rather good morning. It is Conversations with Cleo at a very, very special time today. So those of my regulars who usually settle in at the end of a Thursday evening or at the beginning of a Thursday evening, around 7:30, you tune in to have some conversation, to hear some good conversation and to take away some knowledge and some information that perhaps maybe you did not have prior to tuning in. Today is a couple of things going on today because clearly the government has shut down, but we're going to put that on pause for just for a second. And I want to give you all a promo of what today's show is about. It's about understanding the transgender community. And there are a lot of you out there who may listen to me regularly and say, Ms. Cleo, I ain't even trying to talk about that. I don't have a problem with gay people, but I don't think you need to be going and having surgeries or dressing like a man if you're a woman or dressing like a woman if you are a man. All of these, keep in mind, these are your opinions and they are valid. As my grandmother used to say, everyone has an opinion, just like them have a rascal and them all stink. So sometimes opinions get changed, though, when you have more information. And that is what I am hoping to do today, because remember, I am a member of the LGBT community. I am a proud lesbian. I am a proud member of the LGBT community. While I am a black woman, while I am a Jamaican woman, while I am a mother, while I am a sister, while I am a partner, I am all of these things, but I do not want it to appear or to translate to any of you out that I forget about my community that is, has made one small stride with the United States Supreme Court striking down DOMA. But there is still so much more out there. And so there's a lot of information and a lot of press going to DOMA and its striking down and all of the many benefits now that the LGBT community will be able to benefit from prior to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision. We were not able to access these benefits. So I really think that it's important for us to continue the conversation all around so that people understand, because I genuinely believe that the lack of understanding or the lack of knowledge is what frightens people or what causes people to be more judgmental. So I have a dear friend of mine who is a specialist in therapy, sexual identity. She has all of the proper terms, etc. And she has agreed to come on to the show and just kind of talk us through all of that. And that will be Martha Harris, founder of the Banyan Counseling Center. So she will be joining us around 11:30 this morning. I also want to add that Martha is a, we often call ourselves cousins because her last name is Harris. My last name is Harris. We don't look anything alike. Anyway, Martha is quite a remarkable woman, just GP. This is a woman who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, also known as MS, in her early 30s. And Martha just celebrated her 60th birthday about a month ago. So she is no joke. And for me to change a time frame in order for her to come on and share her knowledge with us seemed like not a big deal. At least I didn't have to go to Congress in order to get that approved. Zin? So y'all know how me stay, right? Because, you know, I can't let this thing go on. I mean, I don't have nothing to say about it, you know? And trust me, it got uber personal. It got uber personal for me yesterday when I realized that two of my grandsons, their mother has been furloughed. All right. Now, they have a father same way. He's got a good job same way. But nowadays in America, you know, it takes two incomes. And I mean, two decent incomes to raise your children. And when I talk plural, hell, it takes a decent income to raise one child. Anything beyond one child, it takes a great deal of money. And without any choice of her own, she has been that term that they're using, government ease is what I call it. She has been furloughed. So for me, it feels personal because I feel like they are taking food out of my pickney's mouth. So I'm more than a little bit vexed. But I got to tell you, I'm not by myself. I have seen story after story after story after story. I get a goosebump right now because people are ticked off. And this is out to every American within the sound of my voice today. Then say something. Write a letter to your congressman. Don't put him back in office. I mean, I'm getting a little bit bugged by the American people doing all of this whining and this bitching and fetching. Here's the deal. We have the power to do something about this. Why we are not, I don't know. Why we have put it into the hands of these incompetent MacGyver-type politician individuals in Congress is beyond me. Because even MacGyver seems like he would be a better option than the Looney Tunes that we have in government right now. And I'm not big about calling names, but I got to tell you, every once in a while, it just fits. Now, for those of you who have not been impacted by the government shutdown, and I got to imagine that's a large number of people, but I want you to just take a moment, and I'm going to go over all of the different vibrations. We've been hearing a lot about this World War II Veterans Memorial. Enough respect. I have veterans throughout my family. So they do what I know I couldn't do. I couldn't go fight a war. So I have nothing but respect. But they opened it and they finished it, spent the money on it and couldn't open it. Most of the monuments, most of the museums, matter of fact, all of them have been shut down in Washington, D.C. because of the government shutdown. Or actually because Congress, the Senate, and the president can't pull their heads out of their asses. And I'm holding everybody responsible, you hear me? Not just one faction of this madness. I'm holding everybody responsible, including us, brethren, including us, because there are things that we can do. But check it out. Wick, any of you that have that know single mothers out there that get the food and the formula and the diapers and whatnot with Wick, Wick has been shut down. The National Institute for Health has been shut down. So there are trials that have not begun for people with unique and rare cancers and different diseases. Also, our foods, our vegetables, our eggs, all of these kinds of products that we use every day without giving it a thought, those individuals, those agencies that check to make sure that the right foods, that they're, nobody is cutting corners, they've been shut down. Federal employees throughout the land have families. You understand me? Some of those families have physical issues. Some of those families have mental issues. Some of those families are still working to recover from the bullshit they got us into at the top of this. You understand? And we can go 5, 6, 7 years back, all right? FEMA, hold up. I don't know about you all, but have you seen that Hurricane Karen is headed for Louisiana again, more specifically the New Orleans, Biloxi area, Biloxi being in Mississippi. You understand? And headed again. Now, you all know FEMA. Let's break down the acronym. Federal. That's the first word. Federal Emergency Management. Zin, I want to know what the blood clot is going to happen if Hurricane Karen tear up the coast down there like Hurricane Sandy tore up the coast just about a year ago. What, are we going to send a letter to Mississippi and to Louisiana and say, oh, I'm sorry, the government is shut down, we can't help you? Well, say, Ms. Cleo, well, you're being a little bit unreasonable right now. That is not true. I don't know if you all have seen that there was an enormous crash on a highway in Tennessee. Almost 20 people impacted. I think the number is up to 11 dead and another 12 that may be injured. Just heard on the news that the NTSB, you understand? National being the first word, Transportation Safety Board, gonna break down the acronym, cannot go out to the scene to investigate what happened. Cannot. There was a church bus, an SUV, and a big, what do they call them, the big 18-wheeler trucks that was involved in this accident. But, I'm sorry, the government is closed. It's shut down. So the National Transportation Safety Board cannot go out to the scene because they don't have any friggin' employees in the office in order to go do the job. Seriously? Seriously, people? This is how this is impacting us. Also, we have Head Start here in the state of Florida, as of today, shut down. You hear me, man? Shut down because there are no federal funds coming to assist with health, with Head Start. Do you know how many children get their first and only meal of the day via Head Start? Now, any of you out there that are mothers, and for that fact, any of you out there that are fathers, understand that may be your child. It could be your child. And for some of you, it is your child. Now, what about those parents who are doing the right thing, not on welfare, who are not on any kind of assistance, and they are working that little $7.25 an hour job? What are they supposed to do come Monday when they have to go to work and there's nowhere for their picnic to go? There's nowhere for them to take their child to be safe. This is what, and I understand, brethren, I understand how easy it is to say, God, this is all too depressing. I want to stay light. I don't want to be buried in this foolishness. Well, let me tell you something. Like Tanya said on her song earlier, it's a hell of a thing when the problems of the poor come lick down your door. You don't have the option to stay quiet. We don't have the option to sit back and to bitch and to fetch and to moan about this if we're not going to do anything about it. You understand? There are some of us out there that are trying to raise up our voices and to say something. There are some that are like, I don't know, what are you going to do? There is plenty we can do. Now, you can choose not to do anything and I got no judgment. But please don't call my show. Please don't email me talking about, boy, Miss Cleo, I don't know what go on with these politicians. And boy, what happened to the world, Miss Cleo? And my goodness, life is rough. Mm-hmm. You can change all of that. I'm not in the mood anymore to listen to people chat about the problem. And no one can offer a blood clot solution. You understand? And I'm not trying to be vexed about this, brethren. But I really, really, really implore each and every one of you. It takes every senator and every congressperson has a Twitter. The goodly have a Facebook, but me no know. I don't spend enough time on Facebook. But they got a Twitter and they got an email. And you don't have to make it long. Just tell them you want this madness to come to an end. Done deal. Because it is not working. And when I hear people talk about our founding fathers and what they put in motion and what they set up, I got to tell you, I don't think the founding fathers had this in mind. Because I got to tell you, I am so terribly bugged by the fact that there are almost a million federal employees that will not be getting a paycheck, you know? It's the first of the month. How many people do you know rent is due? Eh? Or your mortgage is due? Or one of your loan payments is due? How many of us out there, and each and every member of the Congress and the Senate, except for I think a handful of five, will be getting that same lovely paycheck that they get on a regular? They will be able to pick up the phone and make a dental appointment. No worries, because they've got dental assurance and insurance and assurance. They can pick up the phone and make a doctor appointment, you know, to go and visit their specialist or whatever. They can do that because they've got a great health insurance plan that, of course, we pay for, you know, and we pay their checks. And I got to tell you that most of all, puts my panties in a serious bunch. You hear me, man? That we are not standing up as the Republic. I said that to somebody the other day. They said, what are you talking about, the Republic? I said, they keep talking about our founding fathers. Well, that's what the founding fathers used to call the United States of America, the Republic. That refers to the people. The Republic of the United States. Before they put on the America side. Few other places, in case you all are still not embracing what I'm putting down. Loans are delayed. All manner of loans. SB, Small Business Association loans, they're delayed. Home loans, you know, anybody funding their home through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. We have all types of vibrations. And of course, because we need the airports, they've left the checkers and what. Because literally, this is such a game with our emotions. And it's a pissing contest for the politicians. And at some point, we got to bring it to an end. I don't know what that's going to look like, my dears. I have absolutely no idea. Because as Tanya said in our song, you know, we don't want to see this shit happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't want to see people take to the streets angry. Angry at anybody who sets them off. Because, as I said before, these are historical times, my dear. And these historical times, people 100 years from now will be talking about the foolishness and the silliness of this government and of this country. And what a shame. All right, my loves, we are going to take one quick pause for the cause. And when we come back, we will be welcoming Martha Harris, founder of the Banyan Counseling Center. And Martha has so graciously agreed to come on to the show today to help us understand the transgender community. So in light of all of that, we are going to go ahead and get back to some music. And we are going to do what we do the best here, we are going to make sure that we show some love to all of the small businesses that are out there that are making it happen in spite of the incompetency of the government. Bedner's Farm Fresh Market, one of the few remaining family-owned farms in South Florida. Their mission is to bring their customers a variety of locally grown produce that is tasty and affordable. You come in as a customer and you leave as a friend. Strawberry and tomato, you pick open every day of the week except for Tuesday. Bednar Farm Fresh Market, located at 10066 Lee Road and 12033 US 441, Boynton Beach, Florida 33473. You can also give them a call at 561-733-5490 or visit them at their website, www.bedners.com. Dog pack snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog pack snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Coco tested and approved. Coco is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Coco and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at dogpacksnacks. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years' experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970 or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would save. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels delivered uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
All right, you all, you know, that was Ego Tripping by Miss Nikki Giovanni, also known as Professor Giovanni. We're going to turn up the volume here, make sure everybody can hear me well. You know, this technology thing is getting a little bit deep. We got hit by CME, solar flare, on the 2nd, and I can already tell you I am feeling it. All right, my dears, as I promised, we have Martha Harris, founder of the Banyan Counseling Center, who is a dear friend of mine, who has joined us today. But before we bring Martha to the mic, I want to just give you all a little bit of background on who she is and, you know, why she is so supremely suited for what she does. Martha, the Banyan Counseling Center serves individuals and families of a variety of needs. However, Martha has found herself specializing in sexual identity and gay, lesbian, and bisexual related issues and concerns, as well as gender identity and transgender concerns. So it is an amazing vibration to have all of that. Now, she does as well deal with any number of issues. She is a therapist. Martha founded the Banyan Counseling Center in 1995, and she is a LCSW, a CHT, and a TFT. And I am going to ask her to explain all of that alphabet soup. I only know one of them. She has certifications in hypnotherapy and thought field therapy and has more than 20 years experience in mental health. Martha received her social work degree from the Catholic University of America in 1989. After working for several years as a clinical director for a psychosocial day program and later as a social worker for a local hospice program. After that, she decided that it was time for her to go out on her own and start her own private practice, i.e., we are birthed of the Banyan Counseling Center. Martha, darling, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Hi, sweet pea.
It's good to hear you.
You can hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. You are live and on the air, darling.
Oh, it's first time for me, so I'm excited.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Thank you so very, very much for coming to the show. I've let everybody know that we are dear friends and that we also perceive that we are cousins in another lifetime simply because we share the same last name. The Harris family must be a big family.
It's a big family. Well, I'm really glad to be with you, Cleo. It's an honor to be on your show, and it's a gift that you're giving me to be able to share my work with your listeners.
Oh, darling, it's a gift to us. Without a doubt, it is a complete gift to us. Now, I wanted to start out, and I know I think I did an okay job with your bio, but now you are a licensed clinical social worker, correct?
That's correct. Now, not every state uses those exact initials, but it means a clinical social worker in the state of Virginia. That's right.
Okay.
And then the other initials in my alphabet soup really stand for Certified Hypnotherapist. That's a CHT. Mm-hmm. And the TFT means that I am certified as a Thought Field Therapist, which is an energy work I do with people. And it's amazing work to actually have the energy guide my sessions instead of me. I go well into my intuitive state when I do that kind of work. And it's amazing how the intuition just really works through that, and I really love it.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I wasn't even aware of that. Look at me. I know her now for a number of years, and I was not hip, but Martha is a very intuitive individual nonetheless. So that makes complete sense to me. What I want to start off, because I was very excited to do this show, and I actually got the idea to do this show the last time we were in Sitges, you know, because I thought it would be really important to share the information, only because, and I want to talk to my listeners, because they know I keep it straight, I keep it actual, I keep it 100. Prior to meeting Martha and embracing her in my life, she happens to be one of my partner's oldest friends. I don't know, 30-some years and change. I had a very hard, judgmental concept of the transgender community. I wasn't hating. It's not that I didn't love them, but I was really frustrated as to why they were members of the LGBT community. I was always good with the LG, but I didn't understand the B and the T, because bisexuals at this time, I was, again, I want my listeners to understand, I was very judgmental.
Right.
And so I figured bi didn't have anything to do with the gay community, because they could move about the cabin any way they want to. And
right.
the transgender community, I didn't even think it was an issue for the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
It is a far more deep, emotional, physical, spiritual issue. You understand? Especially because it leads to very dramatic changes in one's life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then after meeting Marsha, I realized that, and after even meeting a few, Marsha, what would be the correct term for somebody who has gone through the surgery and has, who is transgendered now? I mean, aside from just calling him a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
what is the proper, because I want us also to be able to speak with sensitivity.
Right.
You know, as we're discussing, but I've even met a number of people who have had that gender reassignment surgery. I guess that's the right term, and they're wonderful. There's nothing different, but their stories are so courageous.
They are very
heart moving. You know what I'm saying? So I just hold on, Mark. I just want people to understand that the reason this was so important, because it has changed my perspective. Mm-hmm. It has allowed me understanding, i.e., that has allowed me compassion
mm-hmm.
for my brethren in the LGBT community. I no longer have those judgments. I no longer separate them from the community. And that has been large and solely in part to my friendship with Marsha. So I'm going to ask Marsha, if you could just go ahead for my listeners and tell them how you got into this being your specialized field, and actually what you do when someone calls you on the phone and says, hi, I'd like to come in for an appointment because I have some gender identity issues.
Right, right. Well, why I got into this and how I got into this is interesting, because when I started my practice in 1995, a very, very close friend of mine named Rusty Lynn had been working in the community for many years, and he was my mentor, and I didn't realize that he had actually been sort of teaching me a lot about it when we would just have conversations. You know, we would have conversations and talk over cases, and, you know, he would challenge my clinical skills when even before I started my practice. You know, he helped hone my skills. And so when I went into private practice, I realized, well, you know, there are plenty of lesbians out there who do therapy. So reaching out to the lesbian community as a therapist, I thought was going to be very difficult, because in this area there are just a lot of lesbian therapists who reach out to lesbians. So I thought...
That makes sense, though.
It does. And so I thought, you know, there aren't enough therapists who truly have a compassion for people who are going through this. So I reached out to that community, and I learned a lot, because I went to one of their open peer support groups every month for about a year and listened to their stories. And, you know, I also got a few clients from that, but I really learned from them during that time. And so I just became known as someone who was compassionate, and then that was what really grew my practice, because people knew they could trust me. And so when someone calls me for an appointment, the first thing I do is get out my calendar and make an appointment. The second thing I do is at the first meeting, I sit down with them and I say, you know, I want you to know that you are safe here. I have heard everything in the world in this room. It never goes past this room, mm-hmm. and not without your permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to feel safe here. And that's the first thing I say to people. And sometimes I can just see the wall just sort of melt from around mm-hmm. them, you know. that they're relaxed. They relax a lot knowing that. Now that I've been doing this since 1995, my reputation is pretty solid in the city. So if someone refers to me, another client refers someone to me, then they know that I've done a good job because that other person liked me. So it's mostly word of mouth now. I may advertise in a few places, but not much. It's all word of mouth mostly. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, so in the structure of my sessions, the first one is really to get a clear understanding of their life and how it led to this point. Mm-hmm. Now, what a lot of people don't understand, and a lot of people who judge transgender people, is they think, oh, they're just wanting to change their sex just for attention. Well, can I be frank? Can I be really bold?
You can say anything you want on here. You can cuss, you can swear. We like it 100, my listeners. So go ahead,
okay.
Mommy.
Good. And I'm like that with my clients. You know, no one is going to want to have their penis inverted just because they want attention.
And that's the truth.
It's not that kind of deal. The deal is that almost without fail, they have felt different from an early age. They have felt ostracized by people around them. They have felt pushed into being something they didn't want to be. For instance, having to wear pants to church instead of a dress, which is what they really wanted to wear. At 5 years old, they're saying, Mommy, I want to wear a dress, you know?
Right, right.
How do they know that at 5 years old if it's not a real core feeling of theirs?
Exactly.
Right. So I the first session or two, I really get that good psychosocial assessment of them. And then we just start working on how to make this happen. What is keeping them from doing it? And that can be, fear. A family wanting to reject them if they do it. It can be loss of job. There's so many fears that they have that it's a big step to decide to do this at any age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I started my practice, most people were 50 years and up when they came to me.
So now you're saying, now wait a second, now 50 years and older came to regarding identity issues, sexual identity issues, or transgender, or just for
right.
any
no,
number?
Right. Most people who came to me, my first clients were all 50 years older and up. Now, it's not that they didn't feel that they were different from a very, very young age. It's that they didn't feel society was ready or...
Right.
You know, they many of my clients when I first started were Vietnam vets, were special forces, Marines. I mean, they were people who took people out from a long range. You know, and what I found is that, and still somewhat today is that, but not as much because now today, since it's becoming more understood in society, people are coming to me much younger. I have teenage 20-year-olds now, more than I do anyone older. But back then, you know, they didn't have the societal acceptance, so they hid it, and they tried to be as masculine as they could. So many people came from the military. Even in, now this gets confusing, but in the female-to-male range, the girls who want to be guys, they went into the military too. Why? Because they could do male things.
Gotcha. All right.
They could be seen as a lesbian if they were a lesbian. Not really back then because lesbians couldn't be out, but people just saw them as a butch woman, you know?
Right.
But for them, it served a purpose of helping them feel masculine while they lived in this body that they didn't like. So interesting, both sexes would go to the military for different reasons. One to prove they were a man, and the other to be a man, just because it was comfortable, you know? Not just because but that was a place where they could be masculine without any trouble. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Now, have you heard about that? There's two stories that I'm sure you're on top of because you stay so connected with all of this. There was a Special Forces Marine who came out, wrote a book, everything, and he was in national news, I want to say, a couple of months ago. And what an amazing story. And then you have the young man who leaked those documents to WikiLeaks, which I still don't think he's guilty. He has come out and really has identified, and he's one of those younger individuals.
And the other person who is in Special Forces is a rather young person too, in his 30s, her 30s. And she's local. I don't know her, but she is local. It always amazes me when I think of how big the community is. And I've seen over 700 people since I started my practice, and I still don't know everyone in the community.
Right. Wow. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot. And the other person, it's interesting. People in the community can be just as judgmental and everything as everyone else in the world. It doesn't make you a different person, even necessarily compassionate with others who are going through sex changes. But those are all other issues. Those are feelings of, some people are jealous because that person got the scene, got the publicity, and they would really have loved to have written a book themselves. And it's just interesting, but they're very good stories, and it just shows that we all come from different areas,
The fact that you mentioned that, even if you are in the LGBT community, because that was my issue, I did not have any compassion. I didn't have any understanding. So let me go to the next question. So we've made the appointment, and the individual comes in to sit down and to meet with you. What I want people to understand is that there is a whole process.
Right.
When an individual decides that they want to change their gender identity.
Right.
Now, it's required by most of the doctors who are the surgeons, rather, when you talk about the inverting of a penis. There are doctors who require, or the whole process requires, that they get therapy or counseling. Can you talk to me specifically about that process?
Sure. What used to be called the Harry Benjamin Standards of Care were written back in the 1950s when Christine Jorgensen came back from overseas after having changed her sex. And Harry Benjamin was a doctor, a plastic surgeon, who thought that was ridiculous. People shouldn't have to go overseas to get that done. So he started a panel of doctors who then developed this standards of care that everybody should follow. And it's evolved over the years. For instance, back then, you had to be able to pass in the minds of the doctors in order to get your surgery. Well, passing is all, it's an individual thing.
Hold on. I want my listeners to hear that. Now, you said, repeat that for my listeners. You said what had to happen?
What had to happen early on was that they had to pass as female. Fully.
Okay, so you're saying that they had to look like a woman. Female, and the doctor got to judge that alone?
But the panel of doctors would judge that on their own, and they would look at the person and say, you don't pass, we're not going to do surgery for you. And they also only did it for male to females, and they didn't allow anyone but white women. White male to females. So then things changed over the years. The women's movement of the 70s and black movement of the 70s, 60s and 70s, and that got changed. But how it stands now, or at least let me say 5 or 6 years ago, it still was that a person had to be in therapy before they got hormones. And that therapy had to be about 3 months long before a letter could be written for hormones. Now, I'm considered the gatekeeper. When someone comes to see me, I write all the letters for the doctors. So I write a letter for the endocrinologist, and then they start hormones. And then
What's an endocrinologist now? You got to talk to my listeners, because we don't know.
An endocrinologist is a doctor who changes the chemistry of your body from male to female. They start a male to female, they'll put them on estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And a female to male, they'll put on testosterone.
Gotcha. All right.
So that starts their biochemistry changing. And what happens is, you know, the person will start growing breasts, if male to female. We're going to talk mostly about that. I mean, I'll stick in female to males periodically, but most people are male to females who do this, interestingly
enough.
And it grows breasts. They grow breasts. Their skin thickens. Their hair gets a little bit thinner, so it's easier to remove with electrolysis. They don't lose their hair. They need electrolysis to do that. And unless, interesting about losing hair, I had a female-to-male client to me, come to me once who transitioned, left me for a while, and then came back to me. Now, this person had the most beautiful red hair as a woman, very thick hair, came back to me a year later and was completely bald up on top. And I said, my goodness, what happened? And he said, my grandfather was bald, and I guess I got hit with it. And I said, well, how do you feel about it? And he said, well, if you got to take the good with the bad if you want to feel good about yourself. And I thought that that was a really healthy way to look at it, you know.
Wow.
But that's just that's how powerful testosterone is in a body. But estrogen is harder. It doesn't work quite as easily on a male-to-female body, especially if it's an older person, because the body has had testosterone, which has created a bone structure and has created a certain height and a certain shoe size, and can't shrink all that down into a nice 5'7" woman, you know.
Right, right.
So oftentimes, some of my clients look like a, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, it really is true that they look like a lumberjack in a dress sometimes. You know, it's just fun. We talk about it and we laugh about it, you know. I would never laugh at someone. I laugh with them.
No. You laugh with them. Yeah, I've got a question. I think it's a question coming from one of my listeners who's tuned in live now. And she's saying, I'd heard that a person had to live as the opposite sex for a day, and see, this is, again, sometimes the information out there just is inaccurate. How long do you have to live as your gender reassignment before even this as part of the therapy? Where does that come into play?
Any time in my practice, I can work with someone, and they could come in and basically already be living full time. They just haven't gone for hormones and all that kind of stuff yet. But a person who generally goes through the process, they have to live in the opposite sex for 1 year before they can get the letter for surgery.
Okay, so you all just saying, and this is out to the listener who tweeted the question. You have to live for a year before you can get a letter for the surgery from a medical and a psychological professional like Marsa. And so that's a year. Now, throughout that year, and they're still coming to therapy with you?
They are still coming to therapy. Okay. And what we're working on is working on family issues or working on work issues, working on both.
Okay.
We're
right.
working on their own sense of confidence. I have clients who've been with me for 5 years who are still getting up the nerve to live full time. So
wow.
So it, you know, the length of time someone's with me doesn't mean that it's going to be always 3 months to this and then 1 year after that and then they're gone. You know, it means that they're with me as long as they need to be with me until they feel good about it. So,
The questions are coming in. I'm so excited. I love my listeners. They're great people. Got another question coming in that says, is there counseling for the families, or do you do counseling, or where would a family go for counseling, let's say, if they have a family member who is in the process of gender reassignment or gender, you know, transition? Do you counsel families? Is there a place for families to go and get counseling?
Well, what what I generally do is I do work with families when they want me to. Sometimes they don't, because it depends on where the family is. If the family sees me as the bad person taking their dad or their wife, their husband away from them, then they're not going to want to come to me. So I generally refer them out to someone I trust who who understands the gender thing. It doesn't. Then they're going to someone who's totally non-biased about things. I mean, I want my people to be able to transition, so it's hard for me to even separate out not taking sides. You know what I mean?
Right.
For people to go to someone I trust. Now, there's also PFLAG. PFLAGs all over the country now are having T groups, and so there are transgender support groups through PFLAG for family members.
All right, for those of you out there, PFLAG, and PFLAG is everywhere in this country. And so what, they're having little tea socials that are like support groups?
Yeah, they'll meet on, like there's one that meets once a month on Sundays, and they get together and talk about family issues and just get some support and find out they're not alone. And you know, there are lots of support groups around for transgendered people, but PFLAG is the only one that has a support group specifically for families.
I think that's so important. It is so, so important. Now, let me ask you, as we're sitting here and we're talking about that, you and I both are lesbians and had less than smooth coming outs with families, et cetera, et cetera. But so we know a little bit of what that's about. But I would imagine for the transgender community, that there are so many mores, both social and religious and cultural, that come into play. What are some of the kinds of issues that you found in your practice that happen as a result of family not dealing with this well? I don't even know if that's an actual question, but I'm just curious.
Well, let me think about how I can answer it. It depends on the family, really. Now, some women who are married to men who transition, some women find it in their spirit that they're bisexual, and they stay married. They stay married, but it's difficult for a woman who sees herself as a straight woman to maintain a sexual relationship with someone after they've changed their bodies. Those relationships often break because of that fact. And it's really sad when I see that happen, but I understand it. We cannot change someone's gender attraction. We cannot. Just like I can start eating liver every day, you know?
Right. Okay, I've got another question here, and somebody said, you just took the next question. What's the most common issues when coming out as a transgendered individual? We know we have the rejection from family, or the possibility of rejection from family, but what about the social friends or work? You mentioned work as we were talking earlier. What kind of suggestions or what kinds of things do you have to prepare your clients for when they decide to come out to friends, say, for example, type of thing?
But we do talk about friendships a lot because, you know, what we find, and I think even gay and lesbian and bi people find this, is that you find out who your friends really are when you come out. Because, you know, the people who care about you as a person and not as a male or as a female, they care about you as a person. They're going to support you through this. And it's amazing how girlfriends pop up for transgender women, male to females, to help them go shopping. You know, so oftentimes women are the most supporters of transgender women. But with the female to male community, there's still a little bit more rejection among friends in that community, interestingly enough. Now, most female to males have lived in the lesbian community most of their lives. Those are the ones that still come out a little bit later than the others. So the lesbian.
You know, I just want to stop there because it's interesting. You know, women, we're hard on women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what we say. We're hard on women, and
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting to me that that there's still that rejection. However, I was a member of that group of women that was hard. Well, I was hard on everybody, but I really was.
Never been hard
but
on.
I personally know. And just to get back to my listener's question earlier, I have social friends
mm-hmm.
where when I met the couple, I met them as a lesbian couple,
mm-hmm.
And they had two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, how cool. And the one lesbian was a very big girl, okay? But I don't take no notice to that. I'm 6 foot tall. I weigh about 200 pounds. There's no big deal in being a big girl. She also had a little bit of stubble on her chin, you know what I'm saying? But that happens because, again, I'm a big girl, and I have stubble since I was 11. It's actually a condition. It's called hirsutism. But I have it on my chin. So I never, ever received this woman any differently.
Mm-hmm.
It was only later that I recognized, a friend said, well, you know, their son, you know, that's so-and-so's son. I said, oh, what, they had a surrogate, or which one of them carried the baby? And they said, no, she's transgendered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely stunned. So when you talk about if you have one woman and her husband decides that he wants to go male to female, that
mm-hmm.
often the woman will identify, you know, that they're comfortable with that and have that they're open with their bisexuality or comfortable with their
mm-hmm.
bisexuality, that they continue to stay married. And I just want you all to understand, these friends that I am referring to, oh my goodness, I think they have been married for 25, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed right there with her through,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the male to female.
Right.
I also, you know, have an association with the female to male.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I found myself being a bit more harsh. I found myself being far, far, far more judgmental about that. And it's interesting. I'm hoping someday somebody will be able to figure that out for women. Have you taken a stab at it? Because I know you're saying that, don't really understand why that is, but women,
I can lighten up, yo. I can tell you that the older female to males that come to me, their friendships with other lesbians are become not anymore, because many of those lesbians who are older lived through the, you know, the women's movement and this whole women's movement thing of not buying into male privilege
mm-hmm.
was a big thing. So people just thought they were buying into male privilege. Well, would you change your sex, have your breasts cut off just because you want male privilege? No.
No.
That's insane. So, but that's what people feel. So the lesbian community is now starting to get on board with this and understanding it's a deeper issue. But let's see if it's, no, here you go. Okay.
no, it's all technology. We understand, darling.
It is. So anyway, so that it's harder for women to accept that their women friends are wanting to become men. And that's the sad part, you know. A lot of relationships don't last, believe it or not.
Right, right.
But anyway, it's all about how you are as a person, even being able to accept someone who's going through this as a partner. My
right.
partner asked me once, he said, what would you do if I ever turned into a man? And I said, I would understand it, but you have to understand that I'm a different person than most people.
Exactly. And just for the record, her partner is a fabulous, fabulous individual, also a friend. And you all have been together, what, 25 years now?
5 years, yeah, 25 and a half.
Enough mm-hmm. respect, star. Enough respect. Now, I'm going to ask the questions that I know that even my polite listeners are a little
mm-hmm.
reluctant to tweet me or to email me. Now, we're going to talk about very specifically, because I don't think people understand. We're going to talk about the physicality of it. Now,
mm-hmm.
certainly this is not anything you have to do. These are the plastic surgeons. First, are there plastic surgeons who specialize in transgender reassignment or gender reassignment surgery?
Well, all plastic surgeons do all plastic surgery. But there are surgeons out there that have taken an interest in helping people with their bodies in this way, and mm-hmm. they have become people that people go to. There are just about 5 or 6 in the United States that people go to.
Okay. Next question. I want, because I know what my audience wants to get at, because I know that I understand it only because I've had the conversations with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I
right.
think this is part of just understanding. And then I want to spend a little time on the emotional vibration of it all. With regard, you spoke earlier to the inverting of a penis. So
right.
now if you are male to female, they
right.
go in, the plastic surgeon, and they invert your penis, finish that
statement.
Technically,
that's what they do. They you know, they take the insides of it out and invert it, and the I don't know how they attach it, but they attach it. They keep the top of the penis because that's where the sensation is, so the person can be
mm-hmm.
orgasmic, and they keep that special nerve going up the penis that helps them have an orgasm. That was a
wow.
skill that they recently come into play, though. Most people that have had it over the years are non-orgasmic. And so this is also another big thing. It affects their sex life quite a bit. But
say that again. Now you're saying some people are non-orgasmic. Come again.
Right. The way they did the surgery for a long time, they didn't even think about the importance for a woman to have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
They just,
of course,
only the man having an orgasm was important. So they didn't put much emphasis on finding the way to create a way for people to have orgasms as a female. And they can do that now. The sacs became the labia, and they created their, you know, the hook. They're bringing the nerve, that special nerve, up to become the clitoris. Mm. Many people didn't have clitorises for a long time. And I actually have a friend who became a partner to a transgender woman and didn't know for the first two years that she was transgendered, because she passes pretty well, but she always thought there was something odd about her, you know, her genitalia, but she didn't think anything. And she said everyone's got odd genitalia.
Genitalia is a very, very individual. It's like a fingerprint.
It is, absolutely. It is. So, you know, so anyway, eventually they were honest with each other, and it was not a problem with her. She just really loved the person for the person. So, you know, it's this great story. But anyway, so that's what happens for the male to female.
Male
now,
to female.
Sometimes the penile shaft is long enough to create a deep enough vagina, but if it isn't, they do have to add tissue to it to create a deeper vagina. And the doctors always ask, are you planning to be a woman who has sex with a man, or are you planning to have sex with a woman? Because they may not decide to elongate that vagina if the person is a lesbian and really doesn't plan on having penetrative sex. So,
wow.
Yeah, and when they do elongate it, they take skin from the belly or the hips and create more penis length or more vaginal length.
All right, and now female to male.
This is really interesting, because when someone takes testosterone, their clitoris actually elongates within the clitoral hood. And,
wow!
And it curls around. So if they do have surgery, when they open that up, it sort of springs out like a little spring. And it can get hard. What they do is they wrap tissue around it to create a penis, and the person ends up with a micropenis. There are two.
What is a micropenis? Hold on, you can't go that fast. What is a micropenis?
A micropenis is a small penis. It's what guys in high school laugh at when they see someone next to them in the shower. It's a small penis. So it creates a micropenis, but it still can be penetrated. You can penetrate with it sometimes.
All right.
So,
now, are they experimenting with penile implants for female to male like they are with straight men?
There are two surgeries, Cleo, that they do, and one is called the phalloplasty, which I hope that they've improved upon it, because what they do in a phalloplasty is they basically, again, take skin from the hips and everything and create this penis and fill it with fat tissue from the belly and make it really big, because over the years the tip dies off because it doesn't have good circulation, so they have to go in for revisions all the time. And
Hold on. You're saying over time the tip will die off.
Yeah, because there's not good blood flow in a phalloplasty. And this was the only one that they did for years. That's the only one that they did. So they would make them long and fat. So you can, you could research on the internet if you wanted to and look at pictures of a phalloplasty. But they're generally thick and long, and then they just cut them off and redo it every once in a while to the level where the blood is reaching. It's a very technical thing. They didn't have the circulation quite down. Maybe they do now, but I haven't heard of anyone doing a phalloplasty in years. I haven't sent anyone for a phalloplasty. Most of my clients pick what's called a metatoidioplasty. That's a mouthful, which is basically the micropenis, the small penis, and the labia. What they do is they put in little testicles, you know, little balls.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wow.
Not real testicles, but little fluid-filled sacs into the labia, which becomes their testicles. And it's amazing how real it looks. I mean, it just is. So.
Wow. Now, do they sew up the vagina opening? What do they do with the vagina opening for female to male?
The phalloplasty comes out of the vagina.
Okay, but this the micropenis, is that where the labia, we know where the labia is, and so then in the opening for the micropenis, they leave that open, or women are the individual can choose? I don't know.
Actually, I think that they do close it now that I'm remembering. They do close it. I haven't thought about that in many years because actually most of my clients are male to female.
Right.
But it's, they close it off. But again, look up these surgeries online if they really want to know details. Since it's not my specialty, I hate to...
It's just, these are just some of the questions that I know that I had, because I just had a listener who said, oh my goodness, they said, they said, these big terms, geesh, people need to understand that this is not a fly-by-night surgery. And I think that, not that the whole process, I think people didn't have an understanding of the process, and that this surgery, now there are a series of surgeries. That's the way they used to do it in the old days. Is it just all one surgery now, or is it a series of surgeries for, you know,
bottom?
Male
to do the male bottom? To... on male to females? It's generally one surgery. It takes about 8 or 9 hours to do the surgery. It's a very long surgery, very technical. And it does take some time, but they do it all at once generally. Most doctors do. Now, there's one doctor out in Arizona that does two surgeries. He does first the vaginoplasty, which creates the vagina, and then he has that heal up for about a month or two and then calls them back to do the clitoris and all that.
Okay. Now, and for the women, for female to male, is the, I know the word, is the double mastectomy done at a different time than the micropenis implant?
Yes.
Okay.
What often happens for, now this is interesting about disparity of expenses and maybe sex related, because male to females can get their surgery done for about $25,000 on the bottom. For a female to male, it costs about $100,000 to have the
body. That's insane. Why? What is that about?
Well, that's what I want to know. I think they're both about the same. You know, you have to work just as hard for both surgeries, but it costs like $100,000 to do the bottom for a woman who wants to become a man. But a man who wants to become a woman, it's a lot cheaper. And so that's why a lot of women who want to become men just do their chest reduction, and that's it.
Wow. Well, it's certainly because they've been locked out of it. Now I have better understanding for, you know, the pregnant man. You remember that story a number of years ago.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I got angry because he was allowed to marry his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still fighting for that right as lesbians and gay men. And all I had heard that he had done was had a double mastectomy. But clearly all of the plumbing, so to speak, was in still there as a woman. Now, let me ask you something. When these women, initially you said most of your clients were 50 and over. For these younger individuals that are coming, is part of your therapy for the women that choose to go to female to male, do you discuss with them their options or their feelings about becoming a mother or having a child? Is that part of the therapy?
Yes, I do, and I also discuss it with my male to female clients because they have to store their sperm if they want to be a parent at some point.
Wow, there it is. I didn't think about that. So either way, once you've had this transgender surgery, whether it's male to female or female to male, your opportunity to reproduce in the traditional way is no longer there.
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you, it's very, 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 very rare that a female to male wants to ever have a kid. They do not like that organ down there. They hate their uterus. They don't want anything to do with it. They resent having a period every month because it's just stark reminder that they've got a female body.
Does that stop? So for female to male, do they no longer have a period after they've had the gender reassignment surgery?
Well, once you get on testosterone, you stop having periods. But up until then, you know, their life, when they had their change of life as a kid, you know, the first period was a traumatic event for them because that was such a concrete message that they were female.
And they hated
their periods all their lives. So getting on testosterone and shutting it off is just such a relief to them.
Wow.
That they never have to have it again.
That's pretty interesting. That actually is mind-blowing. Some of these questions I ask them, and Martha and I, like I said, we've been friends for years. I've just never really sat down, and to all of my listeners who are sending me in these fabulous questions, I appreciate you. I did have one that came in, and I wanted to hold it until the end, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it now.
Okay.
Is that one of my listeners said, as a society, which is a big place, or even as individuals, how can we be more supportive, more pro-embracing on a larger level outside of, and one of my listeners says, we just have to respect each other. How do we, or how would you recommend for those of us who want to do the right thing, we want to show love to anybody, because clearly this is a huge emotional, as you are pointing out, and I want to touch on that a little bit more still, but it's a huge emotional dynamic when all of this is going on. So how can we, you know, what suggestions do you have for people who really want to come away from this conversation with a new perspective?
Well, of course, it's respecting others. That's really the groundwork by which we should treat everyone in the world.
This is true.
Maybe our politicians right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to throw them into the sink.
I know. I was listening to your program earlier, and I agree with you 100% on what you said.
good deal.
But our respect is number one. The number two thing is, not to go up to someone out of the blue that you think might be transgendered on the street and say, I support you. Because for God's sake, For God's sake, they might not even be transgendered. I mean, I have been tricked in my view of people at times because I've seen a, I mean, I haven't gone up to them, but I've seen them and really wondered, now, are they transgendered or are they natal? That's what we call people who are born in their bodies and they like it. Are they natal women or natal men, or are they transgender? And see, gender is so fluid. Even in my many, many years of work, I can be tricked. So you don't want to walk up to someone and just say, really, I support you on your journey. But when you hear of someone, maybe at work, or that's coming out at work, or maybe in your church even, because people still want to go to church, you know, or if you're not a churchgoer and you're a spiritual person, maybe just, you know, in your spiritual place, if you happen to run across someone, if you share a spiritual space,
right.
You know, it's just important to be a friend of theirs if you can. Any love you can give them from a friendship level is so important because they are rejected by so many people on their road to success, to their own success of surviving this.
Right, right.
Basically, surviving this.
Yeah, surviving the day-to-day. Now,
it
one
is,
of the
absolutely,
questions,
but when you add on to it, how you feel about your body and how you think people should see you when they aren't.
Right.
I mean,
now, one other question. I don't want to cut you off, but
okay.
We're tick-tock. I wanted to ask a question because I've seen both. Now, once somebody has completed their successful gender reassignment surgery, how many, you talk about the fact that many of your clients are male to female. How many of those male to female live a straight life and how many live a gay life? I have a number of friends who have been male to female and now they're women and they're lesbians.
Right.
Because they still, and that's what really gets people. Because what people think, well, if they're a lesbian, hell, they were a man, they could just still be with women. But the emotionality
of it.
But I
think what lesbians are upset about is that you know, they've tried to keep men out of their life as much as possible. Think of lesbian separatists. They don't want any men around them at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong in their belief that men are not, they're from that old movement of the 70s where, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't want men around them. So when they see a man who's become a woman come into their life, they really are struggling with, I can't accept this person because it's a man. That they can't get past that this person once had male genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the penis
is so powerful.
Yeah, right. Go figure.
Unfortunately.
Go figure. It should be the uterus that powerful, but it's all right. So now, but again, in forms, do you find more often than not that male to female clients are straight once they've completed the surgery, or are they lesbian?
Isn't it interesting how we feel in our society that things are either or?
You know what? You're absolutely right. Touche.
Yeah. And I have found in my work that I can't work that way. I can't expect people to become a certain way. They are who they are. And they oftentimes surprise themselves because they think that they've been attracted to women because they've been married. And they just think they're going to become a lesbian, but then when they start getting the estrogen in their body and start feeling more feminine, and all of a sudden they find themselves starting to be attracted to men, and so they may just identify as a straight man, a straight woman afterwards. But to me, as a therapist, they fit in the bisexual category. If we really want to get into that, because they can have feelings for both.
Interesting. Now, that's another aspect I had. I have another question here that says that you spoke about transgender adults. What about transgendered youth? Does the process look different? And I would imagine that this listener is probably even talking about kids that are under the age of consent, which is 18. What does that process look like? And do you deal with younger children who, like you said, at age five, I want to wear a dress, or I want to wear, you know, rugby pants or whatever the case is. Because there is actually right now nationally a set of parents who are actually being brought up on charges because they allow their young son to live his transgendered life.
Right. Here's the thing I have to say about very young kids. I think that actually diagnosing a child, say in grade school, as transgendered, say like that parent who's allowing their kid to go in the opposite. I think that that's good that that parent's doing that, but I'm not sure that that kid is going to always want to be a girl, because there are children who like to cross gender play, very typical, especially for gay boys. When you who become gay men, gay boys like to dress in girls' clothes as kids, oftentimes, you know. And
they're just future fabulous drag queens, because every
But they don't want to change
people out there. Every drag queen doesn't want to be a woman physically. You understand?
Right.
They like the dress up, as Marta is talking about.
Right.
So I like to make that difference, because some people don't understand that difference as well. I'll put RuPaul out there. RuPaul, I love him to pieces. I love her to pieces. Mm-hmm. But Ru says he don't dress up unless he's getting paid.
Right. Exactly.
See, so Ru lives his life as a gay man. I'm very comfortable with that. But when he's getting paid and his profession as an entertainer, he is a most fabulous drag queen.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And so
now the other thing. Okay, go ahead with the child.
I think that our society. I'm glad we're jumping on the bandwagon that we're at least questioning as a society how early do kids learn about this and really need to express it. I think that's real important. But there are still issues we have to deal with. A parent pushing a child and giving them so much permission that the child ends up sort of just falling into this gender and not really feel, and then in high school saying, I want to be a guy, you know, that's.
Well, I know I grew up in an all-male family. I mean, there wasn't a girl for us, I mean, a young girl aside from cousins or whatever, but in my family, I had 9 older brothers and then there was me. And so as a young woman growing up, I was defined, you know, probably between ages 6 and 9 as a little tomboy. You understand? Because I wanted to play football with my brothers. I wanted to do everything that my brothers did. Dollies weren't bad, but I wasn't completely into my dollies. I wanted to play with Tonka trucks and this, that, and the other. You know, but I also, as I got older, I grew enormous breasts, and this shape started to happen to me, which I was also very comfortable with. You know, certainly the lesbian community, we have everything from lipstick dykes to, you know, to hardcore butch. And I got to tell you, I'm with you. Why does it have to be an either or an or? Because I sometimes can be as butchy as it wants to be, and other times I can be as
fabulous. Other times you're fabulous.
I love you.
I've seen her, girls and boys.
So now, if a parent, let's say, has a 9-year-old that they are really concerned and they want to put them in a supportive environment, would they then contact someone like you and say, I'd like to have some therapy for my child so that he or she can be the most successful person they can be? Is that something that would happen?
It could happen that way. That would be a really wonderful thing if it happened that way, that the parents seek out therapy. And there are more and more therapists throughout the country who are a part of this community of therapists providing support. But I wouldn't want them to come to me, because I don't know enough about early childhood development. I'm much
more. Okay. So you would recommend that someone may be listening to us, you know? And so what I hear you recommending is that you go to someone who also has early childhood development experience as well, because that's very key.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, emotionally, like I said, I want people to understand, because I think this is where it gets confusing. And I think part of that confusion happened because of the LGBT all in one box, and no one took an opportunity to explain everything to people who may not be members of our community, and even to members of our community.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, no matter whether the individual, like you said, it doesn't have to be either or, it doesn't have to be gay or straight, certainly the bi, and there are many, many scientists out there that believe that we're all bisexuals, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Every
mm-hmm.
last one of us. So this label of gay or lesbian is more an issue of emotionality
mm-hmm.
rather than physicality. Because emotionally, if you are a man and everything in your emotion, everything in your spirit energy says, I am a woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to somebody like me, you understand,
mm-hmm.
separate from your area of expertise, somebody comes to me and says that, and then I say to them, you know, you were probably a man in another lifetime. You understand? Because I take it even outside of our 3D right now. Because
right.
I know that for a fact in my life. I
right.
have been a man in previous lifetimes. For those of you out there like, okay, what the hell is Miss Cleo talking about? Different show, different day. But
here
I know for a fact that I was, you know, I was male in another lifetime. I think that's where the whiskers came back from me. I think that's where I was a tall, 6 foot tall woman when there weren't 6 foot tall women running around everywhere. I was an anomaly. I was unusual. I have a very large bone structure as well. But again, I always really embrace this femininity this time. However,
mm-hmm.
because I have so many friends that are male, and I grew up in a household where I hung out with my daddy and my brothers all the time,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes feel in my emotionality
mm-hmm.
that I understand the plight of men having to deal with women, because
mm-hmm.
we are such a challenging species
right.
At times. And for all of the women who are going to send me tweets and emails, I love women, so you can't hate on a sister, all right? But the emotionality of it is really the core. Can any of these individuals and this is an opinion, you know, coming from a learned professional in the field. Do you, if an individual is really struggling with this, can it impact every other aspect of their life if they don't come to terms with who they are?
Well, it can, and it normally does, but there are a few people that can really am I echoing here?
You're breaking up, yeah.
There are people who can segment their lives enough that they can still do work and not let it bother them that they're working in the wrong body. But, you know, everyone's emotionality is different. And I do feel that it affects every aspect of your life if you are really focusing on this and trying to work through it. I mean, gender is who you are. I mean, I need to tell people quickly about what happens in the body, in the uterus, that we believe happens to create a transgendered person.
Yes, and please do.
Yeah, when a woman is pregnant with a baby, under quote normal circumstances, the first thing to be developed is the outward sex characteristics, and the last thing to really be developed is the brain. And when the brain's being developed, it's washed in the chemical or the hormone of the outward sex characteristics. So if it's a boy baby, it's washed in testosterone. If it's a girl, it's washed in estrogen, which causes the hypothalamus of the brain to be a certain size. Women's hypothalamuses are smaller than men's. So what they don't know exactly why that happens. Maybe it's natural selection. I don't know, but it's for
mm-hmm.
some reason that happens. And so they've actually done tests on people to measure their brains. Now, people used to have to be dead in order for them to do it. And they found that and the study I'm referring to was done in 1985, 1992, and then again in 2002 using MRI, which is thankfully what we could use then. But the hypothalamus of gay men and straight men were the same size, and hypothalamus of transgendered women and women were the same size. And it didn't matter if the transgendered woman had been on hormones, had been living as a woman, had been doing anything as a woman, just believing he was a woman, or she was a woman, before she died.
That's brilliant. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you didn't have to be on hormones for the brain chemistry to change. The brain chemistry doesn't change. It's just supported by the hormones.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, oftentimes people say when they first take their, now some of it could be just the effect of having finally doing something for yourself and taking you where you need to go. But taking those hormones, they feel this sense of peace come over them, this sense of feeling really true in their bodies.
Right.
You know, it really helps them feel right in their bodies. So I just wanted
Martha,
to put that.
I love that you threw that in because I wouldn't have known to ask that question at all, and I think it's fascinating. You know, my dear, I appreciate you taking the time out of your very, very, very busy schedule and giving me a whole hour and to my audience as well. And thank you guys out there for tuning in. We usually air at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday evenings. However, given Martha's schedule and whatnot, I also, as I said to you all earlier, and we're going to bring Martha back to speak on a different topic because, as I said to you all earlier, Martha is an amazing woman who deals with MS every day. And she is an inspiration. I mean, a true inspiration to individuals around her. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't even guess it. And she ain't no joke and will always be my cousin by name. Darling, I want you to have a most fabulous weekend. I hear that my girlfriend is where you're at. She's up in your part of town.
I know. I'm seeing her tomorrow. I can't wait.
I know. Please give her a big hug for me and tell her we don't never do a show without saying hello to Cookie. We don't ever say her name on the ear.
Okay.
But, and I'm going to send you the link. So if you want some of your clients or you want to let your friends know about this interview so that you can have them tune in to the show. Once again, folks, we are putting our hands together on thanking Martha Harris, founder of the Banyan Counseling Center. We have placed her website up on the Blog Talk Radio page, and we will also put a link to her website on Economic Evolution on conversationswithcleo.com. Martha, you know what? We could make this a two-parter, so we may have to bring you back, darling. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me, and I am located in Washington, D.C. area, if anyone is listening from there. Okay.
Absolutely. So if you are in the Virginia, the Maryland, or the D.C. area, Martha does not work for the government, so she is not shut down.
That's right.
By all means, even if you are somewhere out of the area, because Martha does do many of her appointments via Skype, thank God for Skype. So by all means, if there is someone that you think could benefit from Martha's expertise, her insight, her compassion, and all of the love, because I can't imagine you do this job without love, my dear. Go to the website. There are amazing testimonials on the website. And be aware that Martha deals with, this is what she specializes in, but she does deal with all manner of issues. So again, by all means, please visit her at www.banyancounselingcenter.com. She is a unique individual, and my life is blessed every day by having her a part of it. So, my dear, I love you. And
I love you too.
We're going to go to a commercial break, guys. And when we come back, we're going to bring this show to a close. Have a good weekend, boss. Love you so much. We're going to do a little of fun. You know what? Give us some love, motherfuckers. Clap your hands.
Give us some love, motherfuckers.
That's how we work in here.
That's some good shit.
Done so many things wrong, I don't know if I can do right.
Too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back every day. more. And I've been down there on the floor. No one ever gonna keep me down again. Oh, oh yeah, I am wise, but it is with the born of me. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong, I am invincible, I am woman. Well, feet that fit so comfortably on your shoulders are the same ones that got us in my crowd, yeah. With all the muscles that you're building, you must be strong enough to lift your standard, make me wanna hang around, yeah. Come here, but tell me what this is. Beyond all forgiveness, why you gotta turn my smile upside down, yeah. You used to say I'm a blessing, no, you say I'm BMS, and so I guess there ain't no point hanging around, yeah. Well, I don't wanna be no guy, just wanna be appreciated by the eye. Don't believe the package influence the content. Tongue for tongue, I mean a lack of common sense. Who am I saying? I don't wanna be no guy, just wanna be respected by the eye. Don't let the style overshadow the credential. Be dressed for no diminished potential. Who am I saying? Yeah, check it.
Let those who have ears hear. Let those who have eyes see. This poem speaks to humankind's lack of accountability. Armageddon, God's doing, God's anger, God's disappointment, or our stupidity, our carelessness, our arrogance? Why does God get to be the fall guy for man? Armageddon, the condition of mankind, humankind. Signs of things out of balance. Carnage, misogyny, acts of violence, broken laws. Killing this planet. And the plan, according to NASA, is to go where no man has gone before. We have already started to litter the universal spaceway, all in the name of advancement. And despite the vastness of the universe, the Cold War did not end with the demolition of the Berlin Wall. A new turf dispute, 40 years in the making, between Russia and the United States, disguised as a very polite collaboration. The signs are there, and at the rate we're going, Armageddon could be any day of the week. And it won't be God's doing, God's anger, or God's disappointment. It will be our stupidity, our carelessness, our arrogance.
Minus 4 and counting. The hungry people know.
All right, my dears, I'm just going to chat here with my boy and my brethren and my hero, Mr. Gil Scott-Heron, playing in the background with Space Shuttle. Again, if you all have not taken an opportunity to Google, download, or otherwise read up on the history of a man who impacted this nation, no doubt. And we miss him still. I know I do. All right, well, we're talking about Space Shuttle and what's going on in these United States. I want to remind all of you on November 14, 2013, beginning at 6:30 p.m. at the BBAD, also known as Boynton Beach Art District, we will be throwing our Passion for Paws fundraiser, an evening with Cleo and friends. It is going to be a stone cold blast, my dears. I just showed my age, didn't it? Come on out. If you're paying cash, it's a $12.50 donation. If you're not paying cash, please bring 5 pounds of dry dog food or 5 pounds of dry cat food. All right? And that's all it takes for you to come out and enjoy some amazing music, some very, very talented people who will be there with me. I'll be doing a little bit of something. We're going to have a fabulous auction. It is going to be an evening under the stars. If you've got a well-mannered puppy, bring him along. I don't know, the cats, they don't like to hang out too much. But whatever it is, it'll also be an event where you can bring the family. No worries. We're going to have PS561 out there serving up some of the best hot dogs. What would be more appropriate? And you all know how I love my Dolce Gourmet cupcakes, and they always support me in my efforts. So, I mean, don't get left out. Come out and check us out. Come spend the evening with us. That is Thursday, November 14, 2013, at the Boynton Beach Art District. the flyers, etc., etc., will still be coming live to you. Hit up my Twitter feed. Hit up Conversations with Cleo. We will keep you updated and posted, and we certainly hope to see you out. I want to give another big up thank you to my dear, dear friend, Martha Harris of Banyan Counseling Center. I've been getting back some tweets, and Martha, girl, you just tore up the show. It was a brilliant show, very informative, and I so, so appreciate you taking the time out of what I know is a very, very, very busy schedule. All right, my dears, I think this about ties it up for me on this Thursday morning. I know it's a little bit out of the spring of things. Y'all still can hit me up on Twitter later on this evening when you take a chance to tune in to today's show. Wow, I have to say my listeners never cease to surprise me. You all always come with good questions. I'm always fascinated as to the things that you all will pick up on that you are curious about. As the time starts to tick down, just want to know, I don't know if this person is listening to me from Sweden, but Zandra, I think I'm saying it right. Thank you so much for that note on Facebook. You gave me goosebumps and you made me feel so, so very good. And out to some of my brethren out there in the Twitterverse that keep it laughing, they keep it rolling, and they keep it 100. Smiz the Money Kid at Black District, at Little Villa Pub, at Poetic Designs, at Danica Inspires, which is also a.k.a. Quiet Storm, at Soul Sister underscore 101, and Valencia at Soul Sister underscore 101 will be on the mic with me next week. It is going to be some fun. I'm telling you, man, if you miss that show, you're going to be mad at yourself because you want to be there right in the moment. We are going to be discussing everything, as well as her book, Timeless Clock. It is going to be a stone cold blast, I promise you. My dears, until that time, I'm going to take it down a level. Seems like out to the people in Mississippi, as well as into Louisiana, we are keeping you in our hearts. We are working on Hurricane Karen, just coming through and dropping a little water. Because certainly we don't have the government. We don't have a government right now. It's shut down. So we should be able to do whatever we want to do, right? Everybody go smoke a blunt. No business. The DEA, ITF, none of them fuckers are working right now. All right. It's clearly time for me to come off of the air. My dears, I appreciate you so much. And remember, 50% of the people aren't going to like you. So we're going to spend all our time, all our energy, and all our heart on the 50% that do. Have a safe and peaceful weekend.